Welcome to ChatGPT Curious, a podcast for people who are, well, curious about ChatGPT. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what ChatGPT actually is.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use it, and what it might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people, and welcome to episode 15 of ChatGPT Curious. I am your grateful host, the Maestro, and today we are talking about Atlas, that is OpenAI's newly launched web browser. Did I just hear an eye roll? If I did, totally justified. Like, what are we even doing? So, not OpenAI. Atlas was released on October 21st, and apparently it's only available for Mac OS. So I don't know shit about shit, but it's kind of weird to me that a company that's valued at $500 billion rolls out a new product that is only available for Mac. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, I have a Mac, so I can use it, but I'm like, wait, you're worth $500 billion. You couldn't get this shit for everybody? Like, but if you want to read the release notes for it, I will link those in the show notes. But like I was saying, I have a Mac, because, you know, it talks about all the things. I have a Mac, Apple got me. I got all Mac all the time. And so I downloaded, or all Apple all the time. So I downloaded Atlas so that you don't have to download it. Right, I downloaded it, played around with it. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm going to tell you all about it. This episode feels kind of like, you know, breaking news, but also this shit be changing so fast. Who knows what will actually be the case a week from now when this episode airs. But at the time that I'm recording this, which is October 22nd, the day after it drops, this is breaking news. But I'm going to take you through the setup of Atlas, the interface, what you can do with it, and my two pennies. But just a little teaser about my two pennies, my two cents on the matter. I think it's largely unnecessary. I think it's redundant, and I think it's redundant to what ChatGPT can already do. My guess is that it's a money play where they're likely trying to get ad revenue at some point. And it is very much in line with their general rollout of things, which is like, here's a thing we think is cool. Now go find a use case for it. Like, that's very backward in the marketing and business world, right? In the business and the marketing world, you find a solution to problems that people already have. You don't go and present a solution and say, hey, people, go find a problem. But I do also in general think that the rolling out of Atlas, this web browser, speaks to a slowing of the advances and the discoveries in the generative AI world. But we'll save that for another episode because I do have many thoughts on that. But let's just use this episode to talk about Atlas. So Atlas itself, the setup, the initial setup, the process, as soon as you open ChatGPT, it prompts you to download the browser. Like, it's at the bottom of the screen and it will keep popping up. So I just did it that way, easiest. You click on it and then it has like your typical setup thing that pops up, little box pops up and you have to move the icons over. So the standard way that you would install something. From there, it'll take you to the little setup and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 prompts that it takes you through. The first one is it asks if you want to import data from another browser. So you can import save passwords, bookmarks, browsing history from either Chrome or Safari. I said immediately fucking no to that. So you just hit skip. Next is you can turn on browser memories. This allows ChatGPT to remember useful details as you browse to give smarter responses and proactive suggestions. You're in control. Memories stay private. Immediately fucking no. Just say no to that shit as well. The next thing is it just tells you a feature that it has, which is Ask ChatGPT. And this, you can do this for any website. And you open the ChatGPT sidebar that's on the website, and then it's on any website. And you can ask it to summarize, explain, or handle tasks. It's right next to where you're browsing. And I'm going to get into this when I talk about the user interface. And I think this is probably the only, like, I don't even want to call it a standout feature, but this is the only feature that has like some sort of promise. The next thing it talks about is make your cursor a collaborator. ChatGPT can help you draft emails, write reviews, or fill out forms. Highlight text inside a form field or document and click the ChatGPT logo to get started. again, I think largely unnecessary, but it's just telling you all the things that it can do. And then the last thing is it a pop-up is there that looks to incentivize you to set Atlas as the default browser. If you do, it will boost your ChatGPT limits. It says unlock 7 days of extended limits on messaging, file uploads, data analysis, and image generation on ChatGPT Atlas. Immediately fucking skip. And only 7 days? Like, what a stingy company. Like, you, $500 billion fucking dollars you're worth. And they're like, yeah, 7 days of this thing that isn't even a problem to start off with. So that's the setup. Of worth noting, when you are like going through the setup mode, it puts these like weird flashes of light on the computer. Very weird. I found it was very annoying. I was like, what is what's going on in the background of the computer? What is happening? So worth noting, if you go and install it, that will happen. So when you actually go to use it, it looks like the standard ChatGPT interface. So imagine when you go to google.com, right? You just open up a new page and it takes you immediately to Google. It looks like that, right? Except there's no URL bar at the top. It's just the ChatGPT prompt input bar, right? Looks like the very much the standard ChatGPT interface. At the top, there are 5 icons. A home icon, a globe or search icon, an images icon, a videos icon, and a news icon. The home, you can click on each of those icons, and it will take you to basically its own page. It won't open a new tab. It just goes to like a new quote unquote page for whatever it is that you're talking about, right? Whatever the prompt is that you put in. You can use it just like ChatGPT. You can put in a prompt in there. You can just ask a question. You can type in a website. It's the only area that you can type into on this whole thing. So the home icon acts just like ChatGPT, right? When you put in your query, it will give you an answer. And at the top is links or URLs that are scrollable. I don't know how you scroll this shit on PC, because like with a Mac, you have the ability to go right to left with the mouse. I don't know how you do it on PC. I don't have a fucking PC, but it doesn't matter anyway, because it's only available for Mac OS right now. Underneath that are pictures that are relevant to whatever the query was. And then under that is actually like the information or the description or whatever it is that you were asking for. It's just like it would give you if you were inside of ChatGPT. The next thing is the globe, and that's a search function. And so if you click on that icon, again, it's the same prompt bar that you've already used, but when you click on that icon, it takes you to a new page, and that provides a list of links. So that is like looks like what Google would look like, just all the links. The next icon was images. Just like in Google, it's a bunch of images. You can click on them, it'll fill up the screen. You can go to the URL for that image at the bottom of the screen. You can't actually like drag the images like to your desktop, but you can copy them and then paste them. The next thing is videos. You click on that and it's just a bunch of YouTube hyperlinks and thumbnails. And then the next icon at the top is news, and that gives you links to posts about the topic. So I played around with it for like an hour. Like, I guess there's other things depending on what you're asking it that would like make sense for this, but like I just want to give you the overview of this. Worth noting, there is a hyperlink to Google in the upper right hand corner just all the time. This is always there. When you use this, you are logged into your ChatGPT account, so you can also open or close the sidebar on the left side of the screen that you're used to seeing, that has all of your chats and everything. That is there as well, right? The accounts are linked because you have to sign in order to use this. And this is, again, like I think maybe the coolest feature. If you go to a site, and remember, you just type the URL right into that little prompt box. If you go to a site, it pops up on the screen. And on the right side, there is like the right top corner. There's a little Ask ChatGPT icon. And when you click on that, of course, it does have prompts that pop up. And there's 3 prompts that pop up. It says agent mode, get best price, or find alternatives. Those prompts likely change based on what the site is. But I opened up this like tour site because I'm going to Hawaii next week. And so it's like it was just top of mind. And so that's what popped up. But when you click on Ask ChatGPT, a narrow bar comes out from the right side, similar to the bar that's on the left side. And that's your Ask ChatGPT bar, and all of the conversation will stay in that side, on that right side. So agent mode, if you recall, right, agent mode is a way that you can get ChatGPT to perform tasks for you, or to perform tasks on your behalf. Right, agents can actually execute tasks. I talked about this in episode 7. I will link it. It is still grossly lacking, but they're really pushing it with this rollout, and so that is something you can do if you wanted to like book something for you or, you know, buy something for you. That would require you to use agent mode. The other two options, like I said, that it gave me, the two prompts, was get the best price or find alternatives. I'm guessing if you have other sites that you pull up that aren't like that, it will give you other prompts, because it wants you to like know what you could possibly do with this thing, right? Of note, you can enter agent mode at any time, right? Just like when you're inside of ChatGPT. And I know that as I'm saying this, some of you may be like, what the fuck is agent mode? Agent mode is when you can literally have ChatGPT do things for you. It doesn't work that well. Like I can make a whole episode on this, and I have talked about this in past episodes, but as these companies are looking to grow and get more money, one of the things they kept talking about was agentic AI, and this idea that AI could just replace people and do things on its own, and these were called agents. What they're seeing is that these agents still require a lot of hand-holding. OpenAI is continuing to try to push this as like, hey, this is a new, like, this works, this is cool. It doesn't really work that well. And that's why they buried it inside of the prompt box, you know, and it's not some like standout, like really front-facing feature. But with this rollout, they have circled back and they're like, yeah, you can use agent mode. So just bringing that up again for what it's worth, okay? And then lastly, for the interface, just like any other web browser, there's the plus icon at the top of the window. And if you click that, it will open up a new tab. So if you like having 57,000 tabs open like I do, that's how you do it. So that's the whole interface. It's, you know, if you watch the little rollout video, the launch video, man, Sam Altman's a weird fucking guy. But if you watch the rollout video, like they talk about how they want it to be intuitive and not this like huge departure from what we're used to. But, you know, in the same breath, they're like, but it's going to be revolutionary and like be so helpful and different. But also it's going to be the same. Like it's just, I think that's a good segue into my thoughts around this. So to me, it very much feels like OpenAI is grasping and they are trying to make money, right? Their own browser would theoretically, having their own browser would theoretically open them up to ad revenue, which is how both Meta and Google be making all the monies, right? They are ad companies. So it feels like they're trying to be, also kind of trying to be like Apple, where they're just like, you're going to be fully immersed in our ecosystem. And you're going to have the browser, and you're going to have the Sora app, and you're going to have OpenAI, ChatGPT app. Like, it's unnecessary to me. And It doesn't actually mirror what Apple did, because with Apple, it was actually like different products that you actually, you know, quote unquote, need for different things, like a phone versus a computer versus whoever the fuck's using a tablet. If you're using one, good for you. I think there's very select use cases for it. But these are different things. And, you know, I maybe even in saying that, that's kind of what it feels like a computer versus a tablet, or like a tablet's not even like a big phone. Like it is kind of, but like you can't make phone calls, where, you know, this tablet's kind of like this like special use case kind of thing. And that is more like what it feels like OpenAI is actually creating, not these like individual standalone, uniquely beneficial products. Right? It just very much overall feels unnecessary. It feels redundant. And as I say that, I'm hopeful that they don't unbundle things, because when there is redundancy, like these companies are fucking cheap, right? They're gonna give you 7 free days. Like when there's redundancy, to me, the next step is that they will remove things. And we saw that with Sora, right? So I did, last week's episode was about Sora, their video generator. And Sora used to live inside of ChatGPT. They unbundled it. It's the same price, right? It's part of your subscription. But they made it its own app, right? They developed Sora 2, and then they housed it inside of a Sora app. And so I'm just kind of hoping that they don't start taking things out. I mean, I guess if they take the fucking agent mode out, who would care? But I'm just hoping that they don't start unbundling things and being like, well, it's only available if you use the browser, right? And they just kind of force your hand with that. So we'll see. But it feels unnecessary and redundant, because you can also just type these things right into ChatGPT right now. Like, I think ChatGPT is incredibly helpful and incredibly useful. And I will do an episode because, like, there's just a lot of naysayers and, you know, people just lack nuance. Like, they're either, like, super, super all about AI and ChatGPT and, like, that's too much. Or they're just like, this is the worst. It's terrible. It's going to die tomorrow. And, you know, the super naysayers. And I'm like, that's too much as also. Like, we can be living in the middle and have nuance here. So, you know, the ChatGPT as it currently stands, it does have a ton of utility. And that's what I think makes the web browser unnecessary, because I'm like, I can type these things into ChatGPT right now. Right? I actually did this, and I try and test it out, and I was asking it about online business coaches. And I was like, hey, can you find me some online business coaches that won't bamboozle me, that specialize in, you know, health and fitness people? Spoiler, I did not come up, neither did Jill. But I'm not surprised. Like, you got to really be in the SEO game for that. But I put the same query into ChatGPT. Like, I did it in Atlas first to see what came up and poke around and kind of learn and try some stuff. And then I put it in ChatGPT, and it's like, it's the same. So it's like, why would I be all up in this browser? The thing that I need is I can get it with the thing I already have. The release video really touted the personalization side of things, but, like, how necessary is that? Like, I don't need it to remember that I looked at some random shit at 2 a.m. after having edibles. Like, that's not helpful for me. They also really promote, and to do that, you have to have, like, logged in and saving stuff. And I'm like, I don't fucking want you saving that stuff. I just let me stay over here on ChatGPT. Right. They also promoted the integration with your email and such. And number one, again, I don't want them in my shit. Number two, the use case they showed, it was like cleaning up an email. And I'm like, fucking copy and paste that shit. Like, it's 2 seconds. Like, also, tying into number three, connectors already exist for this. Right? There is a feature inside of ChatGPT called connectors where you can be linking things together. I spoke about this in the previous episode, and that is when they were really trying to push the agent, but you have to connect it to your inbox. And I was like, and to your calendar and things. And I was like, immediately fucking no. All right, but either way, because of that connector, like, you had this stuff already exists, is my point. And so it all largely feels redundant and unnecessary. Worth noting, because it still is ChatGPT, it gets shit wrong as well. So I actually asked it to whenever I have, like, a spelling question or grammar question, I put it into Google, and I just want the quick answer at the top. And I asked, is All-Star hyphenated or not? And it, like, fucked it up. It was similar to, if you folks remember, when it couldn't count the number of R's in the word strawberry. Like, there was a whole thing around that. It was like that. It, like, gave me the answer. And the reason I say it was wrong is because it gave me the same answer twice. It was like, hey, this is the time that you would use it, as evidenced here. But in the example it gave me, it had a hyphen. And then it was like, here's the time you wouldn't use it, as evidenced here. And it still also had the hyphen. And I was like, when do I need it? So, you know, it can still get stuff wrong because it's still ChatGPT. And you're just like, that's annoying. Like I said earlier, the only promising feature, because I don't want to be like a super deb about it, but, like, also I'm a fucking AI realist, but the only promising feature, in my opinion, is the Ask ChatGPT feature, which I do think is pretty cool, right? Again, that is in the top right hand when you go to a website. This little, that's like a button, pops up. You click it, the right side of the screen expands, and you can ask things about the web page and the website that you're on. So I went to my website, and I used the Ask ChatGPT feature, and I asked it to summarize it, and the summary it gave me, I was like, oh, this is cool, and it's good, and it's correct. And then I asked it, like, does this person offer coaching? Because it doesn't know it's me. And it listed out the main offers, it hyperlinked things, and then it asked, do you want me to check the actual coaching page? So it was actually a helpful feature. Like, if you don't feel like poking around a website, you know, there's some utility there. But, you know, I'm saying that that there is some promise there if I'm forced to find any. And, you know, if I take a step back, if you zoom out and we're like, what is that capability? It's that it can, you know, go to a website and it can crawl it as you're watching. Because currently there are some limitations with that when you're using native ChatGPT. So my two pennies, do you need to download it? No. Moose is barking. I don't know if you can hear that. Moose is barking. But do you need to download it? No. No, you don't. If you want to download it because you're curious, clearly, by all means, do so. But I downloaded it so that you don't have to. All right. Like I said earlier, I think it's redundant. I think it's an attempt at a future money grab. I think it's another cart before the horse type of scenario, right? Like, here's something that we think is cool. Go find a use case for it. Like, that is backwards. Like I mentioned earlier, and I will do a full episode on this, Atlas as a web browser and this rollout, it ultimately speaks to generative AI hitting a ceiling. And until they figure out a way to make these models need less handholding, and aka make the agents actually be agentic, it's going to continue to be the case. And is it possible? Yes. I spoke about this in the previous episode, and Gary Marcus calls this neurosymbolic learning or neurosymbolic models. And it's like a combination of neural networks and typical like LLMs, and pairing that with these systems that can actually memorize things but things that are really used for like gaming and things like that. So if we were to combine the two, yeah, we would have, things would probably be, they would be better. But we are not there yet at all. So for now, it's extra annoying. It continues to be extra annoying. Like, yes, it is cool that these things maybe exist of this agent mode, but it's that much more annoying. And you guys all understand that, right? When you have an assistant, you're like, if I have to fucking double check your work, it's more annoying than not having you at all. Because not only have to teach you how to do it, then I got to go and check it. I could have just done it my fucking self in the first place. And so that's largely where we're at. But hopefully they don't start unbundling shit, because that would be annoying. So when there's redundancy, I think that there's the possibility for that. But we will see. All right. Let's move to the last part of the episode and then we'll wrap it up, which is how I use ChatGPT this week. Each week, I include a section where I briefly discuss how I use ChatGPT that week. And this week, I'm actually going to highlight my girl Rachel, who I've spoken about here before. She hit me up with a win that she used Gemini. That's her favorite one to use. Remember, Gemini is Google's LLM. She used Gemini to help her learn how to do some video editing for her mom. And her mom calls her tech-savvy daughter. And Rachel's like, immediately, that is not me. Immediately, no. But she got Gemini. And so she did some troubleshooting and then did some celebrating at one point after figuring out a problem area, which I know, like, if you've done this before and used it before, you know that feeling where you're like, fuck yeah, I figured this out. Like when I used it to replace the power board in my, what is it called? My wine fridge. I talked about it in a previous episode. And it's like, when you do stuff, you're like, fuck yeah, this is so cool. And so I want to use her story to highlight two things. Number one, using these LLMs, using these chatbots creates competency, right? The more you use ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever, the more you start to understand how it can help you, right? And that just opens up so many doors, because you're just like, oh, it can help me with this. And then if I get stuck, I can still ask it this thing, or I can give it a picture of this and that can help me in that way. And like, ultimately, it can help me get what I really, the outcome I really need. That's fucking amazing. So Rachel, shout out to you. And number two, this highlights what I believe to be the best use case for these LLMs, for these chatbots, which is as assistants. They are not replacing humans anytime soon, but they are still really valuable and really helpful. And I think they have tremendous potential when they are used as assistants instead of as replacements. All right. Got a little fired up there, but that is all for today. That is your introduction to Atlas, OpenAI's web browser. I downloaded that shit so that you don't have to. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, consider leaving a rating or a review. You folks are the fucking best. I read them and I just smile. Like, it's just like, people be listening and writing things, and like, I know some of you, you're my friends. Just thank you. Really, thank you. Don't forget, if you're more of a reader sometimes, even though you listen to this episode, I have a companion newsletter that drops every Thursday. That's basically the podcast episode in text format. So if you prefer to read, or you just want a written record that maybe you're never going to look at again, then join the newsletter fam. You can head over to chatgptcurious.com/newsletter, or you can check out the link in the show notes and sign up for the Curious Companion. As always, my friends, endlessly, endlessly, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.